This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. Actor Willem Dafoe is known for his gripping film portrayals of characters who are usually unstable, villainous, or downright creepy. Whether the Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
Misery, misery, misery. That's what you've chosen.
Cult actor Max Schreck in Shadow of the Vampire.
Immortal age beside the immortal youth.
Or master counterfeiter Eric Masters in To Live and Die in L.A.
Kind of makes me feel like river dancing.
But Dafoe plays a different kind of character in his latest film called The Hunter. It takes place in the wilderness of Tasmania, where a mysterious biotech company is trying to track down the untrackable, a Tasmanian tiger.
The client has reports from a reliable source. Two confirmed sightings in the past year. Until now, these sightings have been kept secret, but word always gets out.
The animal has been declared extinct, but throughout the film, townspeople whisper, even boast about recent sightings. Actor Willem Dafoe plays the man hired to hunt the Tasmanian tiger, and he joins us from our New York bureau. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks. My pleasure.
I'd like to start off by having you describe this character that you play in the film, The Hunter. His name is Martin David. Who is he, and what's he after?
That's a good question.
Well, thanks.
No, because he's something of a mysterious man. I can more, without giving too much away, I can kind of chart his journey, his inner journey. But who he is, we really don't know. All we know is he's a man that's some sort of mercenary, some sort of weapons expert. And he's been hired by this biotech company to go to Tasmania from Europe and find this last surviving Tasmanian tiger. But we really know very little about him. He's very laconic. He's quite cut off socially, so he doesn't tell us much about him. We only know that he's there to do a job, and that's where he starts.
This has all the signs of a tiger kill. She eats the heart first. And this is the cave. She's been there. She probably has dens all around the area, and she moves between them, but sooner or later she'll move back here. I wonder if she's the last one, alone, just hunting and killing, waiting to die.
What did you learn about the Tasmanian tiger? I mean, the whole story is laden with this question of, is this thing really out there? Is it a myth, or are these animals alive?
It's so potent a symbol for the people of Tasmania and the people of Australia, because it was basically hunted into extinction by the colonists that came there. The thought that it still survives, that there is one still out in the wilderness, lives in the people's minds. There's sightings all the time, and it's almost like they're hoping to be let off the hook, that there's a possibility to make up for the sins of the past.
The film was filmed in Tasmania. What was that
totally.
Like?
It was fantastic. I don't think I would have made this movie if it hadn't been filmed in Tasmania. It was very important to root the story. There are huge sequences where I'm just in the nature of Tasmania, which is quite wild, quite unspoiled for the most part. It's a huge character in the movie, and we had to play scenes with it in the respect that the weather is always changing.
Yeah.
You always have to make adjustments. You always have to respect it. And it tells you where the story's going to go sometimes.
Did the plot get twisted around a little bit as a result of what Tasmania had in mind?
All the time, as far as logistically, and yes. But on the other hand, when we were out in the bush, even though by the time we started filming, we had quite a strong screenplay, which is based on the Julia Lee novel of the same title, The Hunter, there were huge sections that we had to really make it on the day in the respect of there's sequences when I'm out in the woods where it says, he sets a trap. We get to decide what that is. Why does he set a trap? What does it mean to the story? Is it atmosphere? Is it advancing the story? Does something happen to him? We were always developing the story as we were shooting.
You have played your fair share of bad guys and even weird guys. Mm-hmm. And maybe have been a bit typecast. I read somewhere, though, that you, at one point in your life, had intentionally cultivated this kind of tough guy image when you were just starting out in New York City in the 70s. Is that right? Were you pursuing that kind of image?
It's a long time ago, but I think just naturally, you know, a square kid from Wisconsin without much culture and not much sophistication, you know, he's trying to pass in New York City. He's attracted to downtown theater scene. He's working with artists and painters and dancers and people that he didn't really encounter in Wisconsin. So you start to identify with, you know, kind of a bohemian lefty world, you know, mm-hmm. and that's not what I grew up with necessarily. So with that, coupled with being a performer, I think some sort of tough guy mask developed.
You have made a career taking roles at both ends, I think it's fair to say, both ends of the movie spectrum.
Right.
Small, low-budget indie films and big, mm-hmm. big old blockbusters. Mm-hmm. And it so happens that as The Hunter is coming out, the sci-fi epic John Carter, based on the novel of the same name, just came out in early March. And you play a completely different role. You play an alien.
Right. Tars Tarkas.
Tars
9 foot tall. Alien warrior king. Green. Forearms.
Yeah.
Thin.
When I saw you, I believed that something new can come into this world.
It's a motion capture performance. I always get irritated. I try not to read press, but I did read a little bit, and I always get a little irritated when people say voiced.
Mm.
Because that's not it at all. You spend 6 months walking on 3 foot stilts and all this motion capture equipment, shooting the scenes, really developing the character, making the scenes, shooting the movie, and then animators animate to what you did later. And then people think it's just voiced sometimes. It tests an actor's ego.
So more than testing your ego, I wonder if you could tell us what you get out of both characters, both ends of that spectrum. Playing Martin David in The Hunter, what does that give you? And playing Tars Tarkas?
The only through line is I'm attracted to strong directors with vision that like to make personal stories. And in both cases, very different movies, but one consistent thing about that. And also in another movie, 444, that Abel Ferrara directed, that's coming out soon. Mm-hmm. All three were passion projects of the director. That's a real consistent theme for projects that I select. You know, when you're actually doing the doing, you don't know the budget of the film, you don't know the size of the film, you don't even make judgments about what kind of character it is or what kind of movie it is. Mm. You're doing what you're doing, you're pretending, you're acting, you're performing.
And lastly, what's coming up for you? You've had such a long and varied career. Are there still things, I imagine your answer is yes, that you have not done yet that are still important to you that you'd like to pursue?
Always. I don't know what those are, but I know they're out there. It's a big old world.
Actor Willem Dafoe, he has several movies coming out this year, including the Australian film The Hunter. That film is now available on demand. The film opens nationwide in theaters April 6th. Thanks so much for talking with us, Mr. Dafoe.
Great. Thank you.